Let's take our Bibles this morning and look to Colossians chapter 3. I want to talk about being thankful. It's not always easy to be thankful, but it is always right to be thankful. And if you truly know Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, then you will never be without a reason for thankfulness. I can think of many human reasons not to be thankful. Right now, my shoes are soaking wet because Steve and I were downstairs trying to clean up all the water from our busted heater. And I'm sure Theodore could say, you know, there are reasons not to be thankful, because he was probably up at 4 or 5 o'clock trying to get the heat working, and it is working, probably too good right now. But the truth is, it's not going to work long, and we do need to replace that whole boiler system. So get ready for a big special offering. But God is still good, even though life is tough. And that's the theme of the Psalms. Thursday, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving with family, and we went around and everybody gave reasons for why they are thankful, and some were based on the eternal realities that we have in Christ, and others were for the temporal gifts that God gives us. And I can remember my daughter-in-law saying, I am thankful for the new home that we moved into 2 weeks ago. And then about less than 12 hours later, at 3 in the morning, they were awakened by smoke and flames and driven from their house, which is now completely destroyed. But talking to my son and daughter-in-law, they are thankful. They remain grateful. One, their children are alive and they're alive. But they know that God is in control, even of the fire that destroyed their home. And they are thankful. Matter of fact, Nate said, you know, I don't know how anyone could go through this without Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about thankfulness this morning from our text. And I want you to think of thankfulness. I want you to think of a three-legged stool. This is a four-legged stool, so I can't sit on that as an illustration. But many stools have three legs. And I want you to think of the seat of the stool as thankfulness, giving thanks always. But the three legs of the stool are what undergird thankfulness, and that's what our text is going to talk about today. That if you're truly going to have thankfulness that is sustained in the midst of the difficulties and tragedies of life, then you need those three legs beneath that seat of thankfulness that will undergird it. Listen to our text this morning, Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If you could somehow sit behind a hidden video monitor, with a monitor with a hidden camera, and look into the Church of Christ and view what is going on, what would you expect to find? Paul is saying that when you look into the Church of Christ, that what characterizes it above all things is that They are thankful. There are people that are praising God. There are people that are giving thanks. People who have an easy life. People who have a difficult life. People who are sick. People who are healthy. People who are struggling to get by. And people who don't struggle. But there's one thing that characterizes them. They are thankful. Many of us are familiar with the story that Jesus told of the 10 lepers that were healed. And they all went away, and one came back, one who was not even a Jew, one who was a Samaritan, an outsider. But he came back because he must give thanks to Jesus Christ for what he did for him. But so often we are like the 9. We don't come back to give thanks. Our lives are not filled with gratitude. Last week I mentioned a quote by Bob Jones Sr. He said that when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. When you read through the book of Colossians, Paul begins with, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He goes on and says, because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, we are always giving thanks. To the Thessalonians, Paul says, give thanks in everything. Not for everything, but in everything. You don't give thanks for a broken boiler, but in the midst of a broken boiler, you give thanks. You don't give thanks as Dawn and I walked through the ashes of a home yesterday. You don't give thanks for a burnt house. But you give thanks in the midst of that tragedy because you have a God who is in absolute sovereign control. Give thanks, he says, and he uses the term 3 different times. Give thanks, always giving thanks. But undergirding thanksgiving are those 3 legs, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. What upholds, what undergirds thanksgiving that will sustain it in the midst of all of the ups and downs of life? First of all, people who have found peace in Christ are people who say thank you. Undergirding that thankfulness is what Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Paul's telling us that thankfulness cannot live by itself. It cannot be sustained by itself. But underneath thankfulness is this peace that is ruling in your hearts. Literally, it is acting as judge, as the arbitrator in everything that is happening in your life, that what solves all of your problems, what solves all of your disputes, is the peace that Jesus Christ brings you. This is the arbiter of everything else that is happening in our life. And he says, this needs to rule in your hearts. This needs to be the judge, the decision maker in everything that's happening in your life. Let the peace of Christ, the peace that Christ brings, let that rule in your heart. But notice, and this is important, it's not only a peace that rules in our hearts personally, but it's a peace, he says, that you experience, that you are called to as members of one body. That it's not just something that I can experience by myself. I cannot sustain thankfulness just by my own personal experience with the Lord. I sustain thankfulness because that peace is strengthened and undergirded by the relationships that I have within the body of Christ. I've told you before that, you know, we often get calls, as many churches do this time of the year, from people who want something. Maybe they need something, some of them, but they certainly want something. And they feel like the church should be generous and give to them in their need. But one of my first questions is always, where do you go to church? Why aren't you calling your pastor? Where is your church family? Are you at peace, living in peace with a body of believers and enjoying in your own heart and in the body of Christ this peace of Christ? Because this is what we are called to. And I would say that 99% of the time, it's people who are alone. They're disconnected. Their family doesn't want anything to do with them. They're not involved with their neighbors. They're not involved in church. And they're disconnected. You know, when my daughter-in-law called me at 5 a.m. and in a broken voice tried to tell me what had just happened, my heart was broken. And then for the next 6-7 hours, all I could think about is, you know, what can I do? Because I like to fix things. What can I do? And I tried to get my son, and his phone was being blown up with calls and messages. And finally, I got him, and I said, Nate, what can I do for you? And he said, Dad, nothing. I don't need anything. He said, I've already had 70 people offer to help me. There's a $100 gift card in the mailbox of the burnt house. He said, Dad, people are gathering clothes, our church family, our friends. And I'm sitting back thinking, you know, here's a young man who has served others. And he told me, Dad, he said, it's very difficult for me to accept anything. I'm used to giving. I'm not used to receiving. And I said, it is a joy for me to sit back and not be needed, to see that you were so involved yourself in the lives of others that they are upholding you and sustaining you in the midst of your tragedy. You have lived in peace with a body of believers whom you have loved, and they are loving you. This undergirds thankfulness. When you find that in your own heart you are struggling for peace, maybe because you haven't learned how to pray, because when you learn how to pray, Paul says you don't have to be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. But maybe you haven't learned to pray. Or maybe, as we talked about in James, you have those compelling desires, those lusts of your heart that you are seeking to fulfill apart from God's will in your life. And so you have this war within your soul. And you can't be thankful, because in order to have a thankfulness that is sustained in the midst of the tragedies of life, you must let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are called in one body with other believers in communion with others. That's one leg of the stool. Let the peace of Christ rule. The second leg of the stool is this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish in all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not only undergirded by the peace of God ruling in your hearts, but it's undergirded by the word of Christ filling every corner of your life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, the Greek language, this construction, word of Christ, can actually be taken two ways. It can be the word about Christ, that is the word which speaks of Christ, or it can be the word which comes from Christ, the words that Christ speaks to you in Scripture. And sometimes you can't determine whether which construction was the intent of the author, or possibly it is left ambiguous because both are true. It is the word of God that points you to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ in all things that needs to dwell in you richly. It's the words that come from Christ as he speaks to you from his word that sustains your soul, that strengthens your soul. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I mean, where do you turn in the midst of the tragedies of life? Who can speak to you words that will comfort you and assure you and give you hope? Only Jesus Christ can do that. What word can someone bring to you that can give you a hope that will sustain you and strengthen you and cause you to face tomorrow with all of its uncertainties? It is the word that talks about who Jesus Christ is, what he's done, and who he is to you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Many of you are familiar that when Paul wrote Colossians, he also wrote Ephesians and Philippians and Philemon from the same time of incarceration. And so there's parallels, especially between Colossians and Ephesians when you read them. And one of the parallels that I always like to remind us of is between Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. When Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, Ephesians 5 says it this way, and don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be continually filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so when you read those texts together, you see the same consequences. Singing and thankfulness and admonishing one another. But the different source, though they're really not different. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Because being filled with the Spirit is being directed in your thoughts and in your mind to the sufficiency and the glory of Christ, so that strengthens you and sustains you. When you look to the gospel, when you keep believing the gospel, when the gospel is the sweetest thing in your life, the greatest treasure in your life, this is what it means to be filled with the Spirit when you are overwhelmed with the word of Jesus Christ. Let it dwell in you richly. He says, let the word of Christ dominate all of your teaching and all of your admonishing. When you talk to one another as believers, to encourage one another, to strengthen and help each other. Let the word about Christ dominate that conversation. Let it dominate your praise and worship. Let your praise and worship not be about you, but about Jesus Christ, about what God has done for you in Christ. Let the word of Christ dominate your thinking. Now, why would Paul have to tell believers to let the word of Christ inhabit every part of their being? Well, we can see just from the world we're living in, from the Christian world that we live in, that the word about Christ, the centrality of the gospel of Christ, easily gets pushed aside. That sometimes church is about the social issues of the world that we live in, and that's what is the focus. Somebody was telling me that the church that they often attend, there is rarely a Sunday, if there is ever a Sunday, when there isn't something bad said about our president or what is happening in the country, that it is always about social issues. And I said, get out of that church and get to a church that opens the Bible and talks about what the Bible says and what it means and how it applies to your life. And if it's not about social issues, it's about some cultural or ethnic identity that makes the church what it is. Or maybe it's signs and wonders or health and wealth and prosperity. But it so easily becomes something other than the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what sustains our thankfulness. When Jesus Christ is not the central issue of your life, when he's not the central issue of church life, then you have ripped out one of those legs that sustain true thankfulness in the midst of the hardships of life. The word of Christ dwells in you, and when it does, thankfulness abounds. Paul said, "May I never boast of anything except in the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." He said to the Corinthians, "When I came into your midst, I did not want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, the crucified one." That this is the heart and center of the Christian life, and this is what undergirds our thankfulness. When we go around the Thanksgiving table and give our thankfulness, I'm compelled, not just because I want to look spiritual, but I'm compelled to always say that the first thing I'm thankful for is that Jesus saved me. That can never be lost. Everything else that for which I am thankful can be lost, but I am forever and always thankful that I am forgiven, that I am a child of God, that Jesus Christ saved me. This is one of the legs that sustains thankfulness. But the third one is also important. People who say thank you not only have the peace of Christ ruling in their hearts, they not only have the word of Christ inhabiting every part of their being, but people who say thank you have a will that is directed toward obedience. Listen to how he says it. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, as I think about these three things that Paul talks about, these three legs of the stool, I also see that he's talking about how thankfulness comes out of the entirety of human personality. Our emotional being, the peace that we enjoy in Christ. Our intellectual, our mind, the word of Christ, what we know to be true. And our will, our commitment to do the will of God, to do everything that we do in the name of Jesus Christ. And if we can't do it in the name of Jesus Christ, we don't do it. Giving glory to, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, what is it that takes the ordinary, mundane things of everyday life that can undergird thankfulness? Because often it's the ordinary, mundane things of everyday life that rip thankfulness out of us. You know, the boiler's overflowing into the fellowship hall where we're going to have lunch together today. How do you mop a floor in the name of Jesus? Well, Paul said you should do it. How do you change a diaper? Paul says you do it in the name of Jesus Christ. How do you get up every day to do a job that you don't like? Paul says you do it in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks. As a mother, how do you care for kids and do clothing and take care of a home? How do you do that mundane, repetitive thing every day? Paul says you do it in the name of Jesus Christ. That when you do it in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father, it ennobles, it gives something, some meaning to everything that we do in life. That's right, every diaper that is changed can be changed to the glory of God, giving thanks. Every customer that you service, you can service in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God. Every nail that you hammer, every bedpan that you empty, every lesson that you teach, every light bulb you change, every word that is spoken, every pleasure that is enjoyed, every assignment that is completed, Paul says, whatever you do, in everything, do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. But we tend to compartmentalize our lives. We have Thanksgiving at church. We sing loudly and sing joyfully. But we don't sing walking through the mud and the puddles of life. I like the way Sam Storms said it. He says, one cannot say in response to 1 Corinthians 10:31, which is parallel to Colossians 3, in everything give thanks. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. He says, you can't say, well, I'm happy to eat and drink to the glory of God, always diligent to give thanks for the sustenance he provides. But my sex life and my career and my hobbies are something altogether. Those I don't want to bring the name of Jesus into. I don't want to bring God the Father into them. When Paul says in everything, Paul means all human endeavors, all human experiences, no exceptions allowed. And you may not like that. You may want to use your money in your name, not in his name. You may want to be Lord over your own life, and rather than having Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. And he quotes the great Dutch statesman and theologian Abraham Kuyper, who said, there is not one square inch in all the universe over which Jesus Christ does not say, that is mine. And in which we should say, I will do what I do in the name of Jesus Christ. So I think Paul gives us insight as to why we struggle with thankfulness. Because you just can't sit on that seat of thankfulness without it being undergirded. And if you're struggling for peace in your own heart and peace with the people of God, you'll never have thankfulness. And if the gospel, the word of Christ, is not the greatest treasure that you possess, you will never have thankfulness. And if you cannot see everything in your life as something that you need to do, you need to commit to do in the name of Jesus Christ, you will never have a thankfulness that is sustained in the midst of the tragedies of life. Nobody knows what they're going to wake up to in the middle of the night, or what will touch your life tomorrow. But the only way you can be ready for that tomorrow is today. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and do everything that you're doing in the name of Christ, and you will have thankfulness undergirded in your life that will sustain you, not if, but when those tragedies and difficulties of life come. Jesus Christ is who we need, all we need. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us for our lack of thankfulness, but even more so, help us to see what we lack to undergird that thankfulness. For those who struggle for that peace within, and that peace within the body of Christ, meet them where they are this morning. Hear their cries. Bring peace to them through Jesus Christ. Encourage them to become involved in a body of believers whom they can love and by whom they can be loved. For those, Father, who struggle to keep your goodness in the gospel at the center of their lives, do something in them this morning where their hearts will be inclined to Jesus Christ. Their thoughts, their thinking will be inclined toward your goodness that you have shown them in the gospel. And to those, Lord, who compartmentalize their life, today may they see you in every aspect of what they're doing and begin to do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks. Make us a thankful people by making us a Christ-dependent people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.